who calls for a halt in our international commitments and world leadership. And so does Mr. Khrushchev. It is he who penalizes both the spread of educational opportunities, the renewal of our urban areas, the responsibility of our government for health, and so on and on. Finally, our report is therefore a clarion call for Christians to become courageous citizens and promoters of those freedoms upon which our nation was founded. Frightened men did not give us our country. Our country and our faith will not be preserved by frightened men.
The other section of our report which we would like to direct your attention to is the fourth section, which is concerned with the Religious Liberty Conference, which was held in Washington in October. This Religious Liberty Conference is not an official group, nor are its findings binding on any person or group. Its purpose is to help us understand what the church-state problems are in modern society and to discuss basic Christian principles that are applicable to the issues. The 95 participants were from 7 national Baptist bodies in the United States and Canada. 7 representatives of our state convention attended. The conference limited itself to 4 broad fields. We want to share with you some of the discussion in these areas. The first area of consideration was church-state problems involved in meeting emergencies. In national disaster, it is the function of government to take the initiative, but churches should cooperate with the government to meet the needs both of the church membership and of the community. It was thought proper for the church to cooperate in civil defense programs, but that responsibility of the churches should extend no further than the reasonable preparation of its facilities for normal human needs. The group was definite in its assertion that the churches should not collaborate with organized government agencies in providing an intellectual or ideological barrier to communism. As Baptists, we have a responsibility to inform the people of the tenets and practices of communism, using all the facilities at our disposal, being careful, however, to evaluate our information in the light of Christian standards. Our concern as Christians is that we be not identified with any particular political or economic system, but that we be in a position always to help bring to light the truth of the judgment of God upon any human system. A second consideration of the conference dealt with church-state relations related to human health. 2 unreconciled points of view emerged relative to the purpose of Baptist hospitals. One of these is as following. The service performed by a Baptist hospital is the demonstration of practical Christianity through medical work for the community, providing at the same time opportunity for spiritual service. If we adopt this idea of the purpose of our Baptist hospital, then the implication is that we would be free to accept tax funds in payment for services rendered to the community. On the other hand, the conference, or at least a part of the conference, held the view that the basic reason for the existence of a Baptist hospital is the same as that for a Baptist church. It is an extension of the healing arm of the church. If we take that point of view and accept that as the purpose of our Baptist hospital, then acceptance of tax funds and payment or acceptance of tax funds of any nature would not be permitted or acceptable. A third consideration of the conference was the church-state relationship in caring for the needs of dependents and the aging. The majority felt there was no violation of separation of church and state in certain short-term services where grants are made by the government to the individuals on a per diem basis. Direct grants or low-interest loans which increase the capital assets of the church at the expense of the taxpayer are to be rejected. However, There were those who did not think that such loans violate the church-state separation principle. Finally, the conference studied church-state relations in programs of foreign assistance and development. Significant in that area of discussion was the suggestion that church service or missionary agencies should not be available to government to distribute public relief or aid to foreign peoples. Though sudden national disaster may constitute an exception. The reasons given for this were government should provide its own distribution system, missionaries should not be identified with the foreign policy of the nation, the missionary is a representative of Christ, and he is responsible to the agency which he represents. With regard to the Peace Corps, the conference offered four guidelines with respect to the relation of the church to the state. One, Peace Corps personnel should be assigned to institutions, enterprises, and projects not sponsored by sectarian interests. Religious tests should not be involved in selecting volunteers or projects. Three, proselyting activities should not be permitted of the volunteer in his official position. No restraint on the personal freedom of religious practice and witness should be imposed on the volunteer. This is a very brief summary of the discussion of the conference, but I hope it reflects for you some of the thinking of the Baptists on our continent and that it gives at least a glance at some of the problems that we must grapple with as churchmen in our relationship with ourselves as citizens of the state. Thank you.
We are now approaching the closing period of this session, and this is the time, very briefly, I hope, for any miscellaneous items. Based upon the latest information that I have, apparently some 3,020 people have been registered as messengers and visitors. And now I'm going to ask Joe Stroud to lead us in a moment of song.